Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Butch Paul, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today, it's Thursday, March 8th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. We're getting awful close to springtime.
We certainly are. In fact, it is the 11th. This Saturday night that we push our clocks forward. We're stringing forward.
I kind of like that. I wish to leave it there all the time, but it is what it is.
So
I look forward to that. I really do. I like it better.
Well,
so
gold
how your
did
day
spring,
been today?
Gold didn't spring forward today. It sprang backward by just a couple dollars. It tried, though. We had a high of 1327 ending up today, looking at 1322.70 in the aftermarket New York spot, down 320. Silver, pretty much flat, $16.57. We had a high of 1661. Platinum, there might be something wrong with my screen because that's showing unchanged too, and I don't think that's the case, so I might not be getting the little final ticks through the day. Platinum, $956. Palladium was up 7 at 983. The USDX today was trading stronger, 0.57 at 90.15. Crude oil was down 0.89 at 60.26. Paper markets today, you have the Dow up almost 100 points, 94.47 at 24,895. The NASDAQ was up 31 at 7,427. The S&P was up 12, 2,738. 10-year yield, 2.87% with the euro trading weaker, quite a bit down, 0.84 at 123. And there was kind of a strange day. It seems like everyone has been focused on these tariffs. And I guess the latest word today, this was updated maybe about 20, maybe a half hour or so ago, that all countries affected by proposed U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum have been invited to negotiate exclusions from the measures. I don't know if you heard this, Butch, or not. So they can negotiate their they can negotiate their exclusions.
How would that work?
I don't know. Countries will be granted exemptions from the tariffs if they can address the threat their exports pose to the United States. And this is out of Reuters. Trump signed proclamations ordering import tariffs of 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum today at a White House ceremony today, or that's about to happen. So my point is, now I guess that he was willing to do a strike that would exempt Canada and Mexico, but how does that work?
I don't know. I don't know.
How do you go to a country and say, hey, just show me that these will pose a threat to your country and we'll grant you an exemption?
Well, I would think it would pose a threat to any country. If they're losing money, I think it would pose... I don't know. I wish we could renegotiate our income taxes if I pay them or not. That'd be awful good, individual basis,
Yeah,
that'd be good. Now, I mean, that definitely puts a hurt on me, but,
Yeah, so...
Amazing.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how this all plays out. This was just information that I received right before the program. Mexico has rejected any linkage to NAFTA in robust terms today. Mexican Economy Minister Gerardo told Reuters, under no circumstance will we be subject to any type of pressure. This is in reference to the NAFTA agreement in Mexico. And we just had Kushner go down there. It was interesting. When Kushner met with them in Mexico, he didn't even have the ambassador included in their meetings. And,
I'll ask you a question. Do you kind of get the willies when you look at Kushner? There's something about him just kind of looks odd to me. I don't know.
There's
what
no expression in his face.
It's like he's.
There's no expression.
I'd say the word possessed, but he just there's no. They're just odd to look at him. He just kind of looks like a robot. I don't know how to put it. I don't know. I can't explain it, but it makes me feel kind of freaky when I see you look in his face.
Yeah, there's no expression. I barely ever seen him smile.
It makes you wonder. Yeah. It does.
But you know, and I don't know why Tillerson isn't going to these meetings with him and so forth. I don't know. But anyway,
well, whatever happens, I just want you to know that I mailed a check yesterday for one of your specials. It's on the way to you.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Thank you.
I mean, that's an excellent deal on the $20 worth of silver dollars and the 10-ounce gold coin. An excellent deal. So I won one of those. So I sent a check to the mail yesterday.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. You know, I have looked on a price of mail. I mean, I've done it for years, and you're always right in there, and usually it's 2 or 3% cheaper than a lot of them. So I do appreciate that. I mean, if you, people like me, they're not wealthy. They're just glad to get what they can and get a good deal, and I appreciate it. I really do.
Well, thank you. And it's real interesting what I've been noticing here in the past couple of months and so forth, because I think people are getting the idea that the quick turnaround with the tax cuts and so forth really isn't going to make major impacts on the economy and so forth. And I'm hearing from clients that I haven't heard from a long time. You know, clients that we've done business, even 10 years ago, they're calling me up. And so it's interest is beginning to come back into the gold and silver market. And yes, it's still sluggish. Yes, it's the best value. It's the best investment that you could buy in the world.
Absolutely.
It's the lowest price investment that you could buy in the whole world. Everything else is overpriced. Gold is the only thing that is not, and its turn will come. And that's one thing that you have to remember.
Well, you know, I don't think the other side realizes they're doing us a favor by suppressing it. They're giving us a chance to buy it was cheap.
Absolutely.
They're doing us a favor. They probably don't mean to. They mean to hurt us, but it actually helps us, folks. You think about that. Think the price is low, buy now because it's going to go up. So they're actually helping us by doing that. But, you know, you mentioned imports, tariffs on the imports. You probably saw this, but a United States Steel Corporation said it was going to restart its blast furnace in Illinois to handle higher demands expected from Donald Trump's proposed tariffs on foreign steel. They're going to hire back 500 employees at the Granite City Mill. Said the U.S. Steel idled its blast furnaces 2 years ago because of cheap imports. Now they said, particularly from China, they said, they're going to reopen their steel plant and put back 500 employees. Now, my question is, I read other places where the steel industry said this is going to hurt them. Who's right? Some steel manufacturer said this is going to hurt us. This one says it's going to help us. I don't know, Melody. I just don't know. It's above my head. What's your opinion on that?
It's both. It's really both. I mean, and the thing of it is, you know, the company that's, opening plants and so forth is expecting it to help.
Well, I hope it does.
So they're investing and going in debt, betting on that it is. So you'd think it would kind of wait until they start, you know, they had the orders.
Well, they're calling back 500 employees, but is it a done thing already? Is it done?
He was supposed to sign it today, and again, we were busy today here at Discount Gold and Silver, and I didn't have a chance to. I just saw the headlines that countries that are involved, with these tariffs, they'd be able to negotiate if they have an impact. So.
I don't know. This is so convoluted anymore. Nothing's ever just cut and dry simple any longer. It's not. It's just all convoluted. It really is. I don't know what to say. I mean, Trump is supposed to be doing things to help the country and change so many things around. And he's now wanting to appoint an open homosexual, sodomite, to become ambassador of Germany. He's upset because the Senate won't approve it. And you know, on one of his cabinet meetings the other day, he mentioned about taking people's guns when they look like they may be crazy, and then go to court. You heard about that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you what he's done with that. Now, folks, for you all think Trump's going to save the country, he ran on a campaign. I remember on a platform, strong Second Amendment supporter. Now, since he said that, Mel, this is the truth. You can go to my website and check it out. But Chuck Baldwin wrote this article today. Since he's done that, now listen to this. Six states have already passed, or the governor's already signed executive orders implementing red flag laws. They will take your guns without due process. If somebody reports you as being dangerous, or they think you may be a little bit off, they're going to take them. California, Connecticut, Indiana, Oregon, Washington, and Rhode Island have already passed or have already proposed those laws or passed them. Six of them already done it. They're already law in these six states. And by executive order, and if somebody calls and says that you have a gun, you might be looking dangerous, they will come take your guns. This happened already in Oregon. This is documented on the website, PastorBush.com. But on top of that, Melody, 24 additional states are considering red flag laws. And I got this right here in front of me. And some of them might surprise you, like Virginia, Missouri, states that you would think, North Carolina, would have more sense than that. But now, a red flag law simply means this. They can come and confiscate your guns basically for any reason. So is this not the goal of the communists and the liberals, not to just restrict guns, but to confiscate guns? Melody, this will affect everybody. If your neighbor sees you with a gun target practicing, you might scare them. They'll call the authorities on you, and they'll come and take your guns. You can have due process later. Now, tell me just how wicked that is.
It doesn't even have to be in relationship to your neighbor seeing you with a gun. It could maybe you forgot to mow your grass that week. You know,
but Trump did this with one comment.
I agree.
I just makes me angry. One comment from our Savior, that's what everybody's called him. He's going to save our country. One comment from him on taking guns first, and six states already done it, and 24 more pending. Now, I don't know about you, but this is kind of scary. And he ran on the idea of Christian values. Now, he wanted to appoint an openly homosexual sodomite as ambassador of Germany. And I'm seeing this happen, Melody, and it makes me angry. It makes me angry. And people still think he's going to do something great to save the country.
Well, you know, I've been talking about, and it's just been coincidence, I talked about it on the morning show, and I think I talked about it on yesterday's show, and I'm going to say it again. I was wondering how this, because the Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross, is in favor of these tariffs, and I knew he was in shipping and so forth and kind of knew what his business was, and I just thought I would pull up to see what else he was involved in and to see how these tariffs were and, you know, would they affect him and so forth. And he came up on Wikipedia, and yeah, I know Wikipedia is not always right and so forth, but you can't, you know, you can't really argue these points. Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, his first job was with the Rothschilds. Mm. In the 80s, guess who was in trouble and got bailed out by Wilbur Ross and the Rothschilds? Mr. Trump.
Isn't that a coincidence?
So, you know, even if Wikipedia is wrong to the point that they bailed him out, which I don't think they are, Wilbur Ross, who's Commerce Secretary, has ties to the Rothschilds, and you know, I get in so much trouble just trying to find the truth in things. It doesn't mean that I'm against this administration. I'm just trying to find the truth.
Well, all I want to do is to ask people to look at what's happening and what's going on and quit, take off your rose-colored glasses and look at the facts here. Because to Trump, six states have already passed red flag laws to take guns first and ask questions later, 24 more pending. He wants to put a homosexual as ambassador of Germany. How much more is going to take your people kind of alarmed with this, Billy? How much longer are they going to sit back and think, well, he's going to turn around and save his country? How dumb can we get?
I'm not a cheer. Yeah, I'm not a cheerleader for anyone.
No.
And I
want to see the fruit.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, and well, look at Ronald Reagan. Look how many people think Ronald Reagan was the best president since popcorn.
I know.
Well, he's very likable. I liked Reagan. He's very likable. He was charming.
Oh yeah, he was, and very affable. And again, he had a good way of speaking. You know, of course, he was an actor, but you know, people. Yeah, really, he was. But Trump is, according to some people, as the greatest president since the country been formed. And I'm watching this. I'm watching what he's doing. Do what?
Trump is also a Mason.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yes, and Billy Graham was too, by the way.
Yes,
for
he
sure.
was. I didn't know that until today. Someone told me. So.
Yeah, I knew that for quite a while. I got a picture of him shaking hands with Harry Truman, President Truman, with a Masonic handshake, and I got a picture of him doing the lion's paw with pictures. So yeah, he was a Mason, big time Mason. They're the ones got him started as a, we'll say, America's preacher.
Yeah.
So
you know
the
ties are all there. You know, to make people should want to know what the truth is, and it's not like we're trying to, and that's what people get really upset with me, and it's just like, no, I'm just trying to get the truth out.
Well, we lost
what's wrong
support.
With the truth?
We lost support because I wouldn't support Trump. I didn't support Hillary either. I voted independent, but we lost supporters because we wouldn't campaign for Trump. Melanie, I'm not campaigning for anybody that I have any suspect to be going the wrong direction, and Trump's true colors are coming out now. But by their fruits you shall know them. For goodness sake, Melanie, look what he's done already. I mean, yeah, maybe he will say some good things. I don't know what they were, but on the gun control alone, being a complete hillbilly that loves guns, and I got a bunch of them, I don't like the idea of somebody can say, well, Butch Paul looked mean to me. And you know, go take his guns, and eventually they probably get told here in this state. But 30 states altogether are working on that right now. 30 states.
Yeah, that really is amazing. It really is.
But what are you gonna do? But don't worry, CBS.
And just like Wilbur Ross, I don't mean to go back to. I'm just getting this off my chest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a diehard Democrat. He turned Republican in 2016. So, you know.
Kind of like our governor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's best buddies with Mr. Trump.
Well, whenever they have ties to the Rothschilds, that should be enough to make anybody understand that Trump is bought. That's just the way it is. He's been bought. Wow, it's break time again already.
Yes, it is. Folks, we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. It's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs either live 4 p.m. Eastern Time, or you can listen to the archives that are posted. So, DGScoins.com. And I'm sure we're going to continue that little special of the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle along with the 21 ounce Silver Eagles, their 2018s. But you have to give us a call, 550-1-800-375-4188. Yeah, I don't know. It is. We're talking about the red states, the red flag laws that are going into effect, and the markets were quiet today, basically. All focuses on the tariffs, all focuses on, I think we're seeing this change over to the elections now.
But CBS is urging Oprah to run against Trump in 2020, because according to CBS, and Gayle King, one of Oprah's best friends, said that Oprah's the only one that can heal and connect all the people.
Oh, good grief.
Now, this is how pathetic, how absolutely pathetic, sickening, putrid, pathetic this nation's become, that this woman would be considered for anything as far as responsibility, period. Now, she runs a good business, I suppose. But to become some kind of leader in a nation, a new age, pro-homosexual, pro-murdering children, anti-gun, everything, would even be considered asked to run by anybody. Melody, I wish there was somewhere to move to, but there's no place else to go.
Well, I think Oprah's a distraction. I do.
Well, no doubt, but it's a
shame. She's a distraction, and I what they're also doing is they're testing too. They're testing to see the reaction that people get. If they like her, they'll find someone like her, and so forth. And right now, they're using her, but she did say that she would have to hear from God whether she should run or not. So,
Well, I tell you what,
I don't know which God, but
I don't think so when we talk about it here, but I want to share some with you, because I think this guy won rebound now. Maybe we ought to vote for him. I'd vote for him over Oprah, I think. Listen to this. This is unbelievable, but it's a true story. Jonathan Rivera, 25, was in Superior Court in Hartford, Connecticut on Wednesday to answer a charge of first-degree larceny and tampering with a motor vehicle involving the theft of a car in Hartford on February 17th. As he waited to appear before a judge, Hartford Parking Authority, agent scanning license plates for parking violators, got a hit on a white 2014 Subaru Legacy parked near the courthouse. The license plates had been reported stolen, and the car itself had been stolen from Newington because a key fob was left in it, police said. Police kept an eye on the car, and when Rivera left court, got in and tried to drive away, they moved him in and arrested him. He was charged with second-degree larceny and taking a motor vehicle without its owner's permission. He had stolen the car to get to court. Hey, that give him credit for you know, for I mean, he had some nerve, you know. So Jonathan Rivera, 25. I mean, he got to court on time.
That just tickles you, didn't it?
It does tickle me. It does. I mean, hey, let's put him Loper up as running mates. I mean, it's absurd, but it's laughable, and it's something you laugh about that anybody can be that stupid. But Melody, we think Trump's going to be a savior, not us, but the nation. How much more stupid is that than this guy stealing a car to go to court?
That's very true. Very true. Well, you know, House Speaker Ryan, he opposes Trump's tariffs, and he warns of unintended consequences. So I'm not, you know, sure where all this goes and what his warnings are and so forth. But, you know, Ryan was, you know, he's been Trump's buddy with his smiles and everything for a long time. And now he looks like he's beginning to split away. So we'll just see how that goes. But, you know, J.P. Morgan, there's his co-president, they warn of a deep correction for stocks totaling as much as 40% over the next few years.
Yes, yes.
You have J.P. Morgan's Daniel Pinto says the equity market, he says there's going to be a correction, and it could be a deep correction, and it could be a result of many factors. But he highlighted the central bank activity as a potential pitfall for markets. And you know what? You know, they're taking off all these regulations off these banks and so forth. And if this economy is in such a great shape, why do they have, if banks are doing so well and everything like that, why are they taking all these regulations off? And, you know, because it's going to involve the housing. They're going to go back into the subprime market. They're going to do all the things that they did before. People don't, you know, they don't learn. They think this is a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing. And, you know, the bankers has always been at the heart of our problems.
Of course. Thomas Jefferson said that. But then they pass regulations where the banks can't make me loans, or say, on homes like they did before, unsecured loans. And that's where we lost our thing in 2008. They took them off. They're doing it again now.
Yeah, they're doing it again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, and to me, these are all acts of desperation. It isn't, hey, the economy is doing great, let's do more. These are acts of desperation. These are acts that, they can't get anything more out of the Federal Reserve. Their Federal Reserve there is trying to rate hike, so if we go into a recession, they can cut back. I mean, how absurd is that? Oh, we got a rate, so, you know, we'll have some play in case, you know, we go into a bad time. It's like, does anybody else think that's normal?
Well, what's normal today?
Yeah.
What's normal today? You know, we have Jerry Brown, the governor of California, that's broken every law in the Constitution as far as anything with the Constitution, including, of course, the immigration, making the state a place, a safe refuge for illegals come into. And, you know, the Trump administration, DOJ, is going to sue him for that. And Jerry Brown said that's an act of war. He told Trump administration that's an act of war, that Trump's going to sue them because they let illegals in against the laws of the land. Now, I don't agree with a lot of federal control, Melody. I really don't. It's totally wrong. But immigration laws are for all states for a good purpose, are they not?
Absolutely.
So Jerry Brown has been breaking the law for years. Many laws. But this one in particular, it will say the immigration law. And now because he's going to be sued over it, he's declaring an act of war. And half his states want to secede from California. So I don't know. Again, insanity upon insanity. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 20:28, that I spiked them with madness and astonishment of heart. I mean, we see the madness, yet we're astonished that others can't see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just sat back and marveled at this, that a governor, a Brown of all people, says that this is an act of war. To try to enforce righteous, good federal laws is an act of war.
Well, what's he planning on doing with an act of war?
I don't know.
What's he going to do? Of course, they're going to, you know, place a lawsuit back. You know, and that's one of the things you do. If you're being sued, what's your next step? You sue back. So, you know, You know, what can they do?
Well, I don't know, Melanie. I did, but again, half the state wants to break off from California already. They want to leave California. So you would think he'd be paying attention to that and wondering maybe what he's doing wrong to cause this part of the state to want to leave. How can we fix it? It probably isn't going to happen. But the point of it is just the move is on to do it. And you would think that he'd be, well, you know, if we can keep this division, if we can keep people from even talking about this, what can we do to change it? Well, how about enforcing immigration laws? That's one of the reasons this part of this state's leaving. They don't want the illegals there among them any longer. I read an article today where a guy was coming to this nation when he was 10 years old. They deported back to Mexico. It was in the Week magazine. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. He was deported back to Mexico, and I got it right here in front of me. I want to just share it with you. I've been there since 10 years old. Here we go. I got it right here. His name was George Garcia. He's sent back to Mexico. But he's here, come here, he's 10 years old. Now, looks like to me he's at least in his 40s. He doesn't have the age here. He's been here, let's say, 30 years with a chance to make it legal and didn't do it. Now he's upset because he's sent back to Mexico. Now, my question is, he was illegal. And what part of illegal did he not understand? And why should I pay for him to come back here? I don't care if he's a tax-paying individual. He's here illegally. So he had 30 years to fix it, Melanie. How do you handle that?
It's difficult. It's difficult. And that's what people... It's frustrating because you hear people all the time when you say, well, it's illegal. Well, there's various degrees of illegal. I'm going to use that as my argument if I'm ever taken to court. Well, there's various degrees of... No, that's our problem. No one is ever held responsible. And you know what? I get, you know, that, you know, we focus on those that are here illegally. Let's focus on those who have allowed this to happen, who have allowed them to be here illegally. Let's hold them accountable. How about businesses that I remember I used to do payroll for, I don't know, 100, 200 employees in a Chinese restaurant. We always knew when they were coming to check, and the immigration would come in the front door and all the illegal aliens would go out the back door, and they'd always leave one or two behind to be caught, that didn't get out quick enough. And it's just like, you know, businesses should be held accountable. Oh, well, we make you do special forms where people have to show ID. No. We all know those are all fake and forged and so forth. Get serious about following the law. Holding people accountable if they break it.
Well, I totally agree. In Huntington, West Virginia, believe it or not, we have a prostitute problem. There are some prostitutes. And I have no problem with that. That's fine. Round them up. That's fine. But how about the men that give them the business? How about the men that drive down the streets, cruise around the streets, and pick them up? Why aren't they in jail? If the Johns would dry up, the prostitutes wouldn't be there, would they?
They'd move on.
That's right. They wouldn't be there. So see, it's fine in one person, but it's not getting back to the root of the problem. Money is what they're there for. And if the men were not there to pay them for what they're doing, they wouldn't be there. Now, come on, folks, this is common sense. You arrest a prostitute, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you're just nipping at the buds of the plant. You're not down to the root of it. The root of it's the money that's being provided for what they're doing. Go back and get the men that are doing it. And if they can put a female cop on the strip there, so to speak, to catch other prostitutes, why can't do it? Put her there to catch a man doing it.
Yep. So, and if they gave if they issued them a ticket like you would where it would affect your insurance. You know, yeah. And let your wife find out about it. that's pretty good punishment.
posted online on the cops' records. Let you're right. Let the public read about it. Mr. So and So was downtown, and
shame them for not doing it.
It's really a situation.
But then you hear, well, you're ruining his life. Well, you know, that he's not going to do it. Maybe the next guy won't do it either.
Well, maybe you ruin his life, but you straighten up somebody else up, perhaps. That's the whole idea. And that's a double standard to arrest one, not the other two. You know that.
Yes.
You can't have both ways. You can't kindle both ways. But that's the kind of nation we have today. It is a double standard nation today. People set up and do what they want to do. And certain people, you know, will say the elite get by with it a lot. The real troublemakers are the ones, like you said, let this happen in the first place with the DACA immigrants. They're the ones that let it happen. And we, the people, let it happen. So, there you go.
Prostitutes now, in West Virginia?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been trying to get Marsha a job for years, but anyway. I'm in trouble now. But anyway.
Yes, you are.
I'm in trouble. Imagine that. And but a different topic I think I find interesting here, too. Burger flipping robot starts first shift at California restaurant. Did you read that?
Oh, they're everywhere, yes. Go ahead.
Well, Flippy is the name of the robot. A burger flipping robot has begun work at a restaurant in Pasadena, Los Angeles. It is the first of dozens of locations for the system, which is destined to replace human fast food workers. Flippy is being installed in 50 locations. Each Flippy costs $60,000 and costs $12,000 a year to operate. One Flippy can cook 12 burgers. A worker making $15 an hour, 40 hours a week, working 50 weeks a year, would cost $31,200 plus benefits and 2 weeks pay vacation. The Flippy can work two shifts and never get sick, for it is to be employed in 50 locations. Someone must think Flippy is worth the effort. So there you go. I mean, we've been telling for years that when they start paying the minimum wage goes up, it's out of reach. Businesses are going to find another way to get the same job done, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And
they're saving tons of money by doing this.
There's a lot of restaurants already. You know, they're turning to kiosks to where you can. It just irritates me because you know, it's been a while since I ordered off a kiosk. But the first couple of times I did, they have pictures. They don't even have words so that you can read, and that used to irritate me. It's like I don't want to poke a picture for my order.
But you can read. You can read, but a lot of people can't. I'm not making that up. A lot of people can't read.
You know, that's lowering the standard instead of raising the standard.
Yes,
and
it is.
So, you know, but that's all the agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Little things like that that people don't even think about. Oh, what's the big deal? You just hit the picture and be done with it. Well, there's all reasons behind it, too. And so, you know, if you want to order something, be able to read it, not just point a finger at it.
Oh, but did you know now they've done a study, no joke, that the students in the school are on their cell phones and their iPads so much during the schoolwork. Now, I'm not making it up. They're not even strong enough to pick up a pencil and write with it. I mean, we use their hands to write with it, to write. Their hands are too weak. Now, I'm not making it up. That's a true study. They can't write. Their finger muscles are not developed enough.
Good grief.
No, I'm telling the truth. Check it out.
Wow.
Now, how sad is that?
It really is sad, and a lot of them don't even know how to write their names. They know how to print, or they know how to type, but they can't write their names.
Well, cursive writing went out quite a while back. They quit teaching cursive quite a while back. And matter of fact, I've been told by some school teachers that they're no longer teaching multiplication tables.
Hey, we're going to be right back. I know that time. It's 4:40 Eastern time, ready to go into a break. We'll be right back after these few short messages. You're listening to Financial Survival, and thank you for joining us.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call, folks. We've got the best prices around, and we have the best service and the best quality of coins that are sent to you. And we do a great job. We're proud of it, and we've been doing it for a long time. So 800-375-4188.
And folks, and I can tell you, she's telling the truth. Her services, I've been with her a long time. I've never had a probability, ever.
We've been all over the page today. We kind of have a light day. It's Thursday. Even though there's a lot of deep news out there, I think sometimes we just needed a break. I think it was one of those days where I needed a break. Because sometimes it just gets too heavy, and so thank you for bringing a little lightness to the program. But we've still talked a lot of serious stuff today.
We have talked a lot of serious stuff.
But what's
very
next?
Serious stuff. Well, I just reading an article here that this is going to affect a lot of people, including the ministry here, Melody. They intend the U.S. Post Service has got a hike proposal out. They'll affect newspapers, magazines, periodicals of all kinds. They want to raise the cost of that 40% over the next 5 years. Now, I don't know about anybody else out there. I just speak for myself. We mail things out here at the ministry that we put out a lot of literature here, which is considered magazines or publications. A 40% hike is a lot of money coming out of this ministry that we can't afford. But just think about businesses that are just hanging on by their fingernails now, like, you know, the Week magazine and Newsweek and all them. They're really hanging on with hard copy literature, which I prefer myself. What's it going to do to them? I mean, the post office said it's going under. It said they're in overall poor financial health. And they have to add that to stay financially stable. I don't get it. A post office is not supposed to be for profit. It's supposed to be one of the services the government does provide, postal services. So the post office does not have to be profitable. But apparently, and of course, we all know now it's in private hands. We know that. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be mailed. Mail is supposed to be done, taken care of by the federal government and at a base price. It never changes, but it has.
Well, you know, with the post office, they do pay their pension. They're required to pay their pension, I don't know, like 10 years in advance. And that's put a lot of pressure on them being able to keep that funded. And so I think it's the only department, company, whatever you want to call them, that are required by government to prepay their pensions so far in advance. And when we think of magazines, you know, I think people enjoy reading magazines. I love to read newspapers, but the magazines anymore, what do you get? You know, they put themselves out of business. It's kind of like I could never figure out why when you had the chef, Ramsay, Gordon Ramsay, go into a restaurant and say, well, you know what, all you have to do is change your food, clean the house, and you'll have customers. Well, if you don't have customers in a restaurant, it's because, number one, your food's bad. Number two, it's dirty. Maybe location, but usually it's dirty, and food is why people don't go to a restaurant. And the same way with a magazine. It's like, why do I want to spend $6, $7, $8, $9 for a magazine when out of the 60 pages, 55 of them are advertisements? There's no articles. There's no thought. It's all advertisements. And it's like, why do I want to pay that much? Maybe a few pictures and maybe some trash article or something. So no wonder they're going out of business. Who wants to pay that kind of money for something that's just there to sell you? But so
I don't know.
You know, they deserve to go out of business.
But you know, people that are struggling to make already with their, say, with this ministry, for example, that puts out a lot of literature, it is going to hurt us. And I know that I was telling you during the break that people actually get mad at me. I actually get mad at us because I asked for money to send out DVDs and CDs. You know, it cost me $2.65 to mail out a CD or DVD. $2.65. And I asked a donation, excuse me, for them. Because Phil's got to buy the DVD CDs, and then he's got to make them. And he's got to give them to me. Crystal's got to pack them up, send them out of here. So none of that stuff is free, Melody. And people get mad at me because of that. But what are we supposed to do? I can't absorb the cost. And if 41% postage increase for whatever reason, different issues, different articles, it's going to cost more in the long run. So it is what it is.
But, yeah, that'll cut down on newsletters and... Now that's a big jump. That's a big hike. But again, to me, I think it's a lot of way to condition people to go online. They want you online to read. They don't want you to read privately. They can eliminate a lot of the magazines going to houses, because you're right, people can't afford, you know, businesses can't afford to pay those increases. And that way they can control the literature. They can control the articles that are on the internet. And you'll only get one type of material for the most part, because people don't have the interest to search for the truth. They want to go to not everybody, but a lot of people just want to go to the easiest place to find the news, and then they accept it, and that's how they think they're listening to the truth, but perhaps the truth is someplace else to be found. So, you know, there's
find the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to find the truth listening to ABC.
No.
Or CBS.
No.
Or Fox.
No.
It's not going to happen. And I got to ask you a question, opinion on something else here, too. I'm sure you've seen this. That Amazon could be the third biggest U.S. bank in the very near future. Did you see that?
I saw the headline. Yes, I did.
Amazon could grow to more than 70 million U.S. customers over the next few years, and will be robbing Wells Fargo as the size of a bank. Amazon, now, I'm not, and I got too many times, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the house, but how would Amazon do a bank? All online, or brick and mortar banks too? What does it mean Amazon could become the third biggest bank? How does that work?
I don't think they would have. I can't imagine that Amazon would have any brick and mortar branches. It would all be online, I would assume, considering that's how the rest of their businesses are generated. And so I can't imagine a lot of these other banks that would be encouraged by Amazon, because, you know, what's going to happen to their businesses unless they, you know, they don't want people to, they don't want people to bank and have savings accounts and so forth. You know, they just want the big business. They want to write loans. They want to get interest. But then again, fractional reserve banking.
I was talking to a head honcho of several banks here not too long ago, and this individual told me that more and more banks are going to cashless. Now I'm serious about this. This lady told me this. I'm going to go cashless, and she said, if you think that there's fewer tellers in the bank now than there were 5 years ago, you're right. He said there's coming a time. Now, this is from somebody that is a head of several banks. Told me that soon, when you walk into a bank, there may be three or four people in the whole bank. They're less. They won't be needed. Now, think about that. I personally, of course, I'm old-fashioned. But I like to sit down and talk to somebody about my banking business or my financial business. I like to sit down and talk to somebody that, you know, eyeball to eyeball and talk to them about whatever, a loan or different things to get the information. I don't like going online. I don't like the idea that I don't have cash in my hand. I'm going to have a digital computer somewhere, and I don't pay my bills online either. I just won't do that. I pay with cash normally or with check. I don't like to do digital online bill paying, but it's all going to that, Melody. One day before too long, I may be obsolete. Really. And my ideas of paying with cash and check may be in the past, and I'll have to go to online banking. Do you think that's possible?
I mean, they're certainly going to force us, but I mentioned again on this program, Sweden was having a problem because they don't have enough cash circulating, and it's about ready to take down their system. They needed that cash to circulate, and there's not enough of it, and they're having financial problems because of that. So I'm not sure, you know, I mean, we can talk 50 years in the future, and yeah, we'll probably be cashless, I would think. You know, 50, 60, 70 years. You know, but we can't, we're not, but the important isn't then, it's now. This is what people have to live for, is today, not where we're heading. We can talk about cashless societies. We think it's going to happen. It might be here sooner than later. And you are absolutely correct. You know, the branches are closing. You know, there's no tellers anymore. People are getting laid off. You know, you have a drive-up ATM that you can do your banking on.
Sure, that's true.
And it is all a push to a cashless society. Is it going to be here tomorrow?
No, I mean, it's getting more so. No, in our lifetime, how much has it changed? Just in our lifetime, Elmy. Think about that. And we're not forever old, you know, so how much has changed? But when you think about this, I personally want something, and I have my hand as a hard asset. I do. I don't want to have to say, well, I have money, but it's all on a computer. It's a digital printout. I want in my hand something I know can't be taken from me by a click of a button somewhere or a fail somewhere in the bank system. I want something in my hand where I can hold it in my hand and say, I've got real money here of value. That's why I ordered some more gold and silver from you, because I want something in my hand I can say, this is for real. It ain't going to disappear. It's right here in front of me, and it's not going to be some kind of digit that just goes off into space someday and I wonder where it went. Now, isn't that common sense?
Well, it is, and of course, you know, gold and silver, of course, is the real money. But you ever seen these cars that have the easy pass?
Oh, yeah.
You just drive through. You don't have to stop. If you're going onto a toll road, you just go through. You know, the youth today, they will embrace something that can be implanted in order to go into a store and just walk out and have it automatically deducted from whatever government account they give you. Because that's what it'll be. It'll be a government account. It won't be your own money. You know, you will be controlled, but you will have access. And I really can see the today's youth very easily. They'll think it's cool. It's a fad. And, you know,
it's easy. It's easy. I know for a fact that on some borders and borders right now, Mexico and some other places, already they can scan your face in your car and know who you are. Now, this is a fact. You don't have to get out of the car. You drive down the highway, go through a toll booth, for example. They know who you are, whether you pay cash or not. Because of a digital picture you put in your driver's license, that's went into Interpol worldwide. You drive through that place, they'll know who you are. You pull in front of a bank, they'll know who you are. You go into a grocery store, they know who you are. This is all right now happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how scary it's getting. Now, that to me is part of the beast system the Bible talks about. Total control. I just read the other day that they're now working, they have your voice patterns they can print off now so perfectly that they can take a computer and digitalize your voice, and you can make an obscene phone call. You aren't even there. But whatever they want to do with it, they can mimic your voice.
Yeah, this technology is an eerie evil. It does good, don't get me wrong. Oh, technology is great. The internet is great. You know what? To me, I see the internet, it really is evil. I use it. I use it all day long. Can't do these programs without it. So, but yet, you have to be so cautious and understand what it really is. And to me, I think it hurts more than what it has actually helped. But it has helped programs like this, yours, to do good things. So.
Well, a lot of things men and men can be used for good. Unfortunately, it always tends to go the other direction.
Money. That.
Yeah, money. One final thing here. I want to tell you that a Marine General, Robert B. Niller, says that only 30% of the young men and women are qualified to join the military today. They're either criminals, or not physically fit enough, or mentally not able to join the military. 30% are on the one. In other words, 70% cannot qualify to fill the ranks of the military. Now, that's a pretty sad statement also.
Yes, it is. Well, I think we're just about out of time. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And thank you for being here. It was a quick program, and it was a great program. Thank you for sharing it. Yes,
thank you,
yes.
Thank you
so much. And we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, with Dave Allen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my